The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the only complete planning platform natively integrated with Microsoft 365. With Vena, your finance and operations team can maximize your productivity and efficiency to deliver data and insights to your whole business faster. Vena lets your team use the Microsoft apps they already know and love, like Excel and PowerPoint, while giving your business the power of scale through a robust centralized database and AI capabilities. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
Welcome to the CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Vena. In this episode, we will explore how to streamline finance operations while scaling to support a rapidly growing customer base. And we're joined by someone who's done it at the highest level. Charlie Keevers is the Chief Financial Officer at Carta, where he's helped grow the company from Series C to Series G and a $7.4 billion valuation. With over 20 years of experience at companies like Salesforce, LendingClub, and JP Morgan, Charlie brings a deep understanding of how finance can drive both operational efficiency and innovation. We'll discuss strategies to scale in a fast-paced environment, including pivoting beyond finance to become a strategic partner in tech adoption, workflow automation, and team design. Charlie, welcome to the CFO Show.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to have the discussion with you.
So you've had a very impressive career. You've spent some time at companies like Salesforce, LendingClub, and now you're at Carta. Can you share a bit with us about your journey that got you there and what is it that Carta does?
Happy to. Started my career in jobs where I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So investment banking and consulting, which a lot of people do when they're still trying to figure out their lives. But great for me, great foundational jobs to kind of understand broadly how business works. But then eventually, like a lot of folks in those jobs, ended up deciding to go in-house to help on the strategy and corporate development side of HP. It was my first corporate job, which was phenomenal experience, learned a lot on how do you do M&A and strategy at that scale. Ended up doing investor relations for a couple of years there, which was not the plan from a career standpoint, but learned a tremendous amount being in that job at a company that was going through a lot of change at the time. And then from there, decided to focus more uniquely on software, going to Salesforce, doing M&A there, trying fintech through LendingClub. And Carta ended up being a combination of all this. It's software, it's fintech, it's a finance platform. And then when I met the founder 9 years ago at this point, it was really interesting vision to me. And also was a point of my career where I wanted to go earlier stage and trying to figure out if that would be the right fit for me. Turns out I liked it. And so I've been here for 8 years at this point. And on what is Carta? Maybe the simplest way I can describe it is think of it as infrastructure for the private markets, and think of it as a platform connecting companies, funds, and LPs that all operate in the private markets and venture and private equity. It all started with cap tables and us helping private companies manage equity and manage their ownership, and effectively digitizing that whole process, making compliance easier, and hopefully making the lives of finance folks a lot easier around these topics. And we've since extended that to funds and helping the CFOs of funds to have a more holistic platform to manage their accounting, their investor relations with their LPs, portfolio management, valuation, all the aspects that come into investing in companies. And so that's what we do, really operating across all of the private markets and trying to build more to help finance people in the space.
Well, and I love that you've taken a non-traditional career path to getting to the CFO, and those different experiences you have, I'm sure, are now coming to bear in terms of how you're able to be effective in the job you have. And how amazing is it that those different experiences now came together in terms of the product, the offering with the company that you have that you're able to leverage across that. So we'll talk a little bit later about some of those different experiences and how they inform, you know, how you are as a CFO. But let's talk about Carta, because you've had such an exciting growth path there. You came in at Series C all the way to Series G. It's been, from my understanding, a pretty fast-moving, fast-growth environment. Certainly, there's been some finance operational challenges along the way. What have been some of the key challenges, and how did you overcome them?
Lots of them. So the main one being, as I think a lot of high growth businesses see, is the constant change, right? How do you create a team that can operate in that environment? And so the constant change, the fact that you start in, you know, when I joined Series B, Series C, lots of manual processes, small team, limited resources. So understanding where to start, where you can have an impact, where you can help the business. So all of that together were some of the biggest challenges, and in constantly evolving with the business. So not only it is just where you are as a business, what you can do to help, but every 6 months it changes. And every 6 months, I mean, you have to adapt, you have to rethink what you're doing. And so a lot of what we spend our time doing is trying to, you know, question our own processes, question our own assumptions as the business continues to change. And so that's frankly where we've learned the most, and continue to go back to reflecting on that.
And as the company has had inevitably to scale in order to support more customers, it's not always possible to just keep adding people to keep up with that growth. And so what are some of those key ways that you've changed your operations in finance so that you were able to scale to manage that growth?
It won't surprise you. It's talking a lot about technology. I think that is one thing I did not anticipate when I took the job, is the amount of time I've spent on systems, and I've spent on thinking about systems infrastructure, data, and really what I call the plumbing of finance. And that was a big driver for us to be able to scale without having to have, you know, a massive team. And frankly, also reducing errors and have the right infrastructure that helped us focus on the most important things versus continuing to do this manually. And frankly, it started with hiring people who could think that way, right? And so that was a realization early for me. I'm not from a systems background. And in hiring folks, especially in the accounting space, which was the foundational piece we built first, that could think in those terms and that could solve problems by relying on systems. And of course, we started, you know, small steps at a time, starting with the ERP. NetSuite was the first piece of software I had to deploy, and that was an important foundational piece of software. But since then, that's been probably the most critical piece of our journey from a scalability standpoint, is to really be thoughtful about leveraging software where we could. And that continues to change. So it's never done. Software also continues to change, which forces you to go back and adapt as well.
And when you think about that tech stack, curious what your experience has been, because I have found even the approach we take to the tech stack looks a bit different at different parts in the journey. And you hit a point where you can't do it all alone just within maybe finance. You have to be thinking a little more holistically, how is this tech stack going to come together and work together? And you have to partner well with IT teams, operation teams, other parts of the business. Has that been your experience as well?
Absolutely. And that's on the data piece in particular. How do you align with a go-to-market team on what are you going to define what a customer is, what AR is, what and how you segment things, and so what's in Salesforce versus what's in NetSuite. And so absolutely spending the time on aligning with your business partners, critical. The people team is another example. Headcount is a big part of cost for all of us in the technology space. But what do you track? How do you track it? How do you segment it? How do you think about the different cost centers and what's reported where? And so similarly, not something I anticipated. Evolving in a silo is not possible, because we're meant to have visibility across all of it to be able to help all of our partners having an understanding of what's going on with the business. So we continue to spend a lot of time on this and align with our partners on how to best understand, you know, how we're going to define things so that systems can talk to one another.
How have you found the journey looks? You know, are there certain milestones that define the different legs of the journey that you've been on, and what then was the focus area, or how you had to think about what was going to get you from where you were to that next key milestone?
The first phase for me was all about when you're in super fast growth and burning a lot of money, just making sure you're always on top of, well, let's not run out of money and tracking cash, understanding that, and then pretty much being in firefighting mode all the time. And so being comfortable that you won't be able to solve everything and picking the few things you're going to work on. And as we often talked about, is letting certain fires burn and knowing which ones are actually need to be extinguished. So that was step one, is just even getting a handle on the business. Step two for us was starting to think more about scalability and start to take a step back and say, okay, we got a lot of manual processes. How do we scale them? How do we leverage technology to do that? By having, not that we had more of a team to be able to take a step back and do that, that was really important, but also came with, how do we put in place the right infrastructure for decision making? Right? And for us, that translated into how were we able to put enough clarity for each piece of the business, what was the top line expectation and bottom line expectation? So we didn't have to constantly rethink and redebate where do we deploy resources and how do we decide where to invest or not invest. Those were decisions we had in a structured enough way. So that was really important to set that infrastructure. And then as we started to grow, it becomes about predictability and risk management and all the things bigger companies worry about. And so, yeah, those are the how I thought about the different phases.
As a CFO, how important is it to you to start looking beyond finance and starting to more tightly partner with other parts of the business, things like automations and workflows? And when in your journey did that start to become really key to be a focus area?
I think it's impossible to do the job well without partnering with business partners and starting with understanding what they're dealing with, right? Because in the end, we're all supporting the go-to-market teams, the R&D teams who are both selling and building the product. And so that's been central to how we've built our team, built our processes. And so frankly, I'd say from day one, it was important. Not that we could spend as much time on it on day one because we're trying to get our own house in order. But very quickly, everyone on the team was incentivized to know what problems their partners were trying to solve so that we knew as we were setting things up in finance that it would actually help them solve their ability to get the information they need to make decisions, their ability to quickly access that information. So I'd say it was always a question. We've just, I think as we scaled, we're able to spend more time on it. And as the business became more complex, we did spend more time on those topics, especially to understand where our business partners were investing, where they saw bigger challenges. I think from day one, that was always a big topic in our minds.
And what have been some of the key processes or technologies that have been critical in helping you to scale your finance operations?
Frankly, it's tough to pick one. I'll say one thing we've done that's been really impactful for us is I do have a team of engineers that is solely focused on finance. And that was probably one of the single most important decisions I was able to convince our CEO of. And so I'm very happy that that's still something that we're able to leverage. And why that was so important is because of the focus on the infrastructure, having technical people who had a really deep understanding of our part of the organization, but also could easily interact with other technical teams in the rest of the business. So for example, how product information would then flow into our billing infrastructure and help us from a finance standpoint, understanding what customers were doing and be able to feed that information back. And then what became a problem over time is all the integrations between all the tools we're using. How does data flow appropriately across? Finance people have a lot of thoughts on that, but technically executing on this is not easy. And so that was probably the most impactful choice we made. And to this day, I don't think we would have made the progress we've made without that small team that we have helping us.
And maybe tell me a bit more about this team. Do they sit in your finance team? Are they part of an enterprise IT group? Or how did you structure that?
No, it's fully dedicated. It's a team of 10 engineers who are fully dedicated to finance. They do follow kind of the engineering track. So they get promoted the same way engineers get promoted. And they're held to the same standard, but they fully sit in the finance organization separate from business systems or IT that are centrally managed and solve, for the most part, finance needs in many ways. their most important problems happen to be problems that solve also issues for other teams. For example, our go-to-market teams and how billing and contracting and all these processes impact how we go with this type of process to customers. They end up doing a lot of that. So it's a lot of these interactions between the various systems that we have. So it is finance, but also helps us be a lot more effective in supporting our business partners.
So you have a lot of horsepower when it comes to systems thinking and how to continually optimize that.
Yeah, makes a big difference. And I'm lucky enough that I do also have, as I mentioned earlier, some of our accounting leadership are very systems minded. And that's just important to even start with that. The engineers wouldn't necessarily be able to know where to start if there wasn't clear leadership on where do we want to go? How do we want to use systems to solve some of the problems that we've had as we scaled? And so the combination of both has been really, really helpful. Frankly, if I were to go to any other company, I think I'd push really hard to have a dedicated team again. That has been and continues to be a huge benefit to us.
One of the challenges that I've experienced in high growth environment is the notion that people are a little bit just running to keep up with the day-to-day and you don't have time to innovate or think differently because you're just trying to keep up. How have you overcome that dilemma? And also coupled with that is the seasonality that we face in finance teams where there are certain times of the year where we really don't have that bandwidth for innovation, process thinking, systems thinking.
First, couldn't agree more. This has been and continues to be a challenge. I don't think there's a perfect solve for it. For us, it starts with just acknowledging that part of the job is to innovate. And so the expectation, especially once you get to senior levels, is not just to do the day-to-day job. And so as we set goals and OKRs or the things we do to track progress, every quarter, there are specific initiatives that every team is looking to drive from an innovation standpoint, from a scalability standpoint. Not that everything's always perfect, but that's the way we've been able to make progress, is that to make that part of operating the business and helping day-to-day is actually to think about this. And in more tactically, we've been testing with hackathons. As a company, we do hackathons regularly every quarter. We actually have one next week, very AI-centric, as it won't surprise anyone. But trying to do this specifically for the finance team, they're strongly incentivized to participate. And so trying to use these moments to step back a little bit. But you're absolutely right. It is tough to really carve out the time separately to go do that outside of large implementations. And so it's more, how do you think about that as part of the ongoing efforts and how do you kind of carve out the time as part of your day-to-day job? But it's a constant struggle.
I think it's great that you've embedded that into the expectations because I do think it's critical. And, you know, there's certainly an awareness we can have for the seasonality of the work. I tend to look at it as we're not all on the same seasonal calendar. Different parts of finance may have slightly different variations, but know when the downtime is and seize the moment during those times to try to make sure that it's happening. It doesn't have to look the same for everybody. You touched on AI, and certainly that's becoming a critical area for finance leaders to be thinking about how are we working with our teams to innovate with AI to help make sure we're keeping skill sets relevant and not falling behind and finding our way through some of the noise of AI, what it is, what it isn't, and how can it really impact our businesses. You mentioned incentives. Can you talk a bit about what you're doing around AI in finance and how you're helping to incent that behavior?
Yeah, we're very much still in finding the specific use cases that would scale. So I'd say we're very much in testing mode. What we're doing, to your earlier question, every team now in their goals has specific objectives around AI. And they may be very simple. It depends on the team maturity on these topics. But my push to every single team is go look at all your most manual processes. And here are the types of tools that we have put in place for the whole company that you can try. And this is where hackathons and basically exposing the broader team to what is possible. Oh, look at this team and they've been able to solve this. And so depending on what each team deals with, I'm seeing different levels of progress. Some of the things my strategic finance is doing, for example, is using it to write some of the commentary on our numbers. That's actually working pretty well. Basically feeding it the numbers and saying, well, summarize what's happening. And at least as a draft of the commentary, it's really helpful. In the context of M&A, it's been surprisingly good at pointing out things to dig into from a diligence standpoint. So feeding, here's the information about this target we're looking at. Tell us what we should dig into from a finance standpoint. So there's a few things really like testing across. And the incentive part is like, I strongly encourage everyone on my team to try. And I'm not testing the outcome yet. It's more, I want everybody to try and find the use cases that will have an impact. And it's actually, it's really interesting for me to see what people come back with, because I obviously don't have visibility on everything and every single use case that would be the best candidate to be optimized. And I'm learning a ton from the teams coming back and say, oh, we tried this and now we can automate this. And it's just really, really being a great learning process. The last thing I'd say is we have the unique chance that our product is a finance product. And so many of our engineering and product teams are billing for our customers in many ways for similar workflows that are accounting workflows that are relevant to my team that may already be automated to some extent with software, but we're learning a lot from them. And so we're also trying to expose my team to what our product team is building and how they're thinking of building AI agents and breaking things down in smaller problems. And so it's a lot of how do we expose everybody to it? Are we trying to train folks on what's possible? And then frankly, letting everybody test and iterate with as many tools as possible.
Well, and I really like how you talk about the learning, because I'm the same. You know, it's new to all of us. This isn't something that a playbook's been written that we can all just go and say, okay, how do you do this? We all have to go in with a little bit of nervousness. What is this going to be? How are we going to do it? And I find sharing the learnings with one another sparks the next innovation, the next idea. Hey, you wrote an agent that's doing this. I could apply that same thinking for this use case over here, where maybe I'm getting the same question over and over, or I could automate a task the way that we did. And so taking that time, just sharing it out, it's sparking ideas. And I find also trying to put an estimate to what the outcome is has also gotten people's attention it can be high level napkin math. Hey, I think I'm now saving 30% of the time I used to spend, or I'm saving this many hours a month. Because when you start to list them out, you quickly start to see how this can really add up and free people up for much more exciting work. And that starts to get people excited. I would say the other thing that I underestimated at the beginning of thinking about how to go about AI for the company was the importance of getting our HR learning and development team involved so that we are creating some materials and supporting the learning, because people don't know where to start. And as we started to do that, it also helped people not feel alone. Hey, we're going to learn how to use Copilot for Word, or I'm going to show you how to start to work with agents. And that initially was not really part of our work plan, but I now appreciate in hindsight how important it's been to helping get people feeling more confident with stuff.
Couldn't agree more. The other thing I'd add that I think has been a big positive is it's forced many of my teams to go back and document the workflows and document the process, because otherwise, how do you explain to an agent? Like, how can you even explain to it? What is the outcome I'm expecting? What are the steps you're supposed to take? So it's actually been a great reflection on all the workflows and processes that we're looking at. And frankly, great maturity, you know, as we're getting to a stage where we need better documentation on all of this. That's been a great process as well. Not everybody loves it, but I think the outcome is really good to kind of force us to go back. And so that's been really good to see as well.
What are some of the tactical lessons that you've learned in scaling companies in a high growth environment, and including some of the cultural things that you think start to become important for that team?
It starts with talent. I mean, we're all very much relying on a group of folks who solve most of the problems. And for me, it starts with hiring adaptable and curious people. especially when things change all the time. If you can't adapt, it's going to be really challenging. And if you don't ask a lot of questions from your partners, from your leadership, from your peers, it's also going to be challenging and frankly not as enjoyable. And so those two qualities are pretty high up the stack for us. I'd say the other thing that's been a realization fairly early in my tenure here is surfacing issues early is so critical. This is the only way you learn. And setting the environment so that that is the right thing to do and that issues don't get put aside or hidden so that you can actually quickly understand what's happening and it can be solved. And so how do you set the team dynamic where people actually feel good about bringing issues and doing it really fast so that, you know, jointly things can be solved? So that's something we spend a decent amount of time on. I always talk about learning velocity and kind of to that prior point. The most important for us is how fast we learn. In a constantly changing environment, the speed of learning is critical. And similarly, it takes a certain type of person to like to do that. And so that's another key learning for us. And then we've talked about it quite a bit, is leveraging technology. That's no question in my mind, supporting high growth without leveraging technology is pretty difficult. And frankly, I would never want to put myself through that to do everything manually.
Well, this has been such a great conversation. I have one more question for you before I move into the rapid fire questions. If you had to give a finance leader that was just entering into a high growth company one piece of advice on what is most critical to build this culture or a team that's going to enable scale and in high growth, what would that piece of advice be?
Where to start? The one piece of advice would be to break everything in small problems. I see a lot of folks struggling with, there's so much to do, I don't know where to start, and focusing on the big problem and then not being able to make progress because it's such a big issue to go after. The advice I give our teams and I've learned is just break things down in smaller problems and small wins. Start with small wins, and that tends to get everything rolling.
Charlie, thank you so much for sharing your insights today. Really appreciate it. I know high growth can be so exciting, but also there's lots of gotchas and lessons learned. So super valuable to get you sharing with us today. Now, whenever we have a guest on, we do have a couple rapid fire questions that we like to ask. So are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. First one, what is the most challenging part of being in a high growth environment?
Constant change. Something that was true 2 months ago isn't today.
And if you could recommend just one book that has had a great impact on your life or career, what would that be?
The one I pick is How to Win Friends and Influence People from Carnegie. I think it's just such a foundational book in terms of how to interact with others, how to be empathetic, ask questions, being curious, smile when you have discussions. Pretty basic things, but such good reminders in a professional setting, especially as a finance professional who interacts with everyone. How do you do that? How do you do it effectively, especially in a fast-changing environment where everybody has their problems to deal with? To me, it's been a really helpful guide.
Sounds like that's a great recommendation. And I'm sitting here thinking there probably needs to be added a chapter on doing that in a remote environment, because comes with its own new challenges.
I couldn't agree more. They did not think about that. That would be a great update to the book.
That's right. Well, Charlie, thanks again for this conversation. Really enjoyed chatting with you today.
Thanks so much for having me, and I really enjoyed the discussion as well. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more on this topic, sign up for our free newsletter, where each week you'll get a roundup of exclusive resources designed to help you grow your leadership skills and drive strategic transformation across your business. Visit thecfoshowpodcast.com to sign up now. For The CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.